play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing this week's The American Express in Southern California. So we're back on the mainland, and I hope everybody had a good week in Hawaii, week two of Hawaii. Kevin Na with the W. You can check out the podcast on Twitter at alwayspressDFS. Give a rate and review on iTunes. We'd much appreciate it. I am on Twitter at BDIntric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Just another week of golf in the books. Some guys in the Slack chat had some pretty good weeks, so that was good. Kevin, another winning week with the first round leader. It's good. Things are good.
That they are. It's been a pretty decent start to the golf season, I think.
Yeah, the worst part about it, I think, last week is I love Kevin Na, and I didn't have any Kevin Na, so that was fun. That was really
yeah,
fun.
You know, Kevin Na weeks are not usually good weeks for me. I did get 6-6 through the cut in the one lineup I played, but you know, it didn't have Kevin Na, didn't have Chris Kirk. Chris Kirk's another good story, man. You know, a guy mm-hmm. battled some demons and I think he had to get in at least a 4-way tie for third in order to earn his tour card, and he finishes in a tie for second, so that's pretty awesome. Joaquin Niemann continued to play well. Leishman was up there, Webb. So yeah, I mean, you know, it was overall a week, and we continue on.
Yeah, it was one of those weeks. I said it last week that it reminded me of RSM. It's either you play Webb or you fade him at your own detriment. And all week, it kind of like slow go. You thought if you faded him, you're doing good. But at the end of the week, he finishes like top five, and it's like, yeah, you probably had to have Webb in the. You didn't have to, but you might have needed to have Webb in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
The only other thing that really stood out to me is it was like 25% 6-6. I had a couple 6-6s, not even cash. Abraham Answer, I think, was like the biggest chalk that didn't hit. So most of the big dogs got through, which made you had to have Kevin Na type thing. Yeah. I had sink in my core, and it really wasn't even a great week. So it tells you everything.
Yes. Stewie didn't play very well over the weekend. But I saw too where there was like 92% of, the one and duns, made the cut in the Mayo oh, wow. Cup or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It was a bit of a weird week given – I mean, there was a lot of guys made the cut. I think 73 guys made the cut overall. Just a strange week from that perspective because we've been used to, you know, 6-6, especially with this top 65 and tie being pretty low. But we are at a full field this week, so it should be pretty interesting.
Yes, we're at a full field. Last week was 144 golfers. This week we're back to 156. So there's another – quick math, 12 guys that are going to have to fight to make the cut. So that'll definitely make things interesting. Like you mentioned, Jesse, makes a lot of sense. And let's just get at it. We don't have much more else to say, I think, about Sony. The American Express used to be a pro-am, not a pro-am, thanks COVID. So instead of three golf courses, we have two golf courses. They got rid of La Quinta, which is 59 watch perennially. We got rid of that one. Still have two pretty easy courses I'll talk about in a minute. But you got any past event history you'd like to pass along?
Yeah. So typically, like you said, it's a three-course rotation. It's also the cut after three rounds, typically, because it's usually a pro-am. And this year, you know, of course, we're going just two rounds, then a normal cut of 65 and ties. Last year, Andrew Landry shot 26 under, won by two shots over Abraham Answer. 2019 was the Adam Log birdie. I think he made birdie on the last to beat Phil Mickelson and Adam Hadwin. He shot 26 under as well. He was one shot over those guys. John Rahm in a playoff in 2018, 22 under over Andrew Landry. Hudson Swafford was the 2017 winner, 20 under, one shot over Hadwin. Duffner, previous winner, Patrick Reed, has won this event before back in 2014. And that's pretty much all that really matters. Perez won it back in 2009, shot 33 under. Nowhere in the hell they played that in 2009. But
I was about to say, it's like the last 5 or 6 years probably all we probably need because they changed the course rotations around that time to where we are now. So, like, yeah, Pat Perez probably played La Quinta, another course like La Quinta. He probably rolled in with like a 20 under going into Saturday.
There was two, like 2010 and 2009, 30 under at least won it. I mean, that's just absolutely insane.
And then, right.
I mean, going back, you know, way back in the early 2000s, 30 under, 36 under is the, I guess, tournament record. Joe Durant back in 2001. I mean, that's just really low. Yeah.
Yeah. That, can you imagine the DraftKings scorings those weeks? Like, if you had a 6 of 6, you're like 900 points.
Yeah. It'd be nuts, man.
Yeah. It'd be pretty crazy. But you mentioned it. It's only two courses. So La Quinta's gone. That's the friendly one to everybody. That's the one that even Phil Mickelson, I think, got like a 60 last year or something, 61. So shows you just what it is. We have the stadium course at PGA West, Dye Design. Pretty good course. And yeah, the Nicklaus tournament course at PGA West is all this whole place, PGA West. But the Nicklaus course, each group will play the stadium and the Nicklaus Thursday, Friday. The Nicklaus course is the easier of the two. Then if you make it to the weekend, you're at the stadium the whole time. So if shot link data, you, the app will work on 3 of the 4 days, basically, for your golfers, if you make it the whole way, which will be nice. Both courses are 7,200 yards. Both are like 71. Well, stadium about 7,150. Nicklaus is about 7,180. So pretty similar in size. The biggest difference, and they're both Bermuda greens with a little bit of poa and ryegrass in the greens, but Bermuda for the most part. The biggest difference between the two, like I said, Pete Dye for stadium course. And we've talked about it many times on this show. Other people talked about it as well. Pete Dye, if you've played it enough, there's a reason as Pete Dye specialist, you can poke your way around a Pete Dye golf course. But if you're pretty new to it or they change a few little things, it's a very big IF is what I'll call it. It'll mess with your, because it's an optical illusion at times. You think you can't hit it somewhere, but you can because it's not as far away as it looks, so on and so forth. The stadium course also has a lot more water than the Nicklaus course. And the stadium course has a lot more fairway bunkers and whatnot to navigate around, given the Pete Dye design. So both courses, you're going to want to hit the fairways. They're actually more critical than they've been in the last few weeks. It's still not super penal to be in the rough, but it's not going to be nearly as easy as it was in Hawaii. So you want to be in the fairway. It can be less than driver courses, especially the Pete Dye design, because you want to lay up a lot for certain things. So you're going to want to hit it about 270 to 280, give or take. So that'll take the big bombers out of it. That's why when Jesse mentioned past winners, not all of them are bombers. Bombers can do well, but it's not all bombers here that play this course. And then you got to take advantage of the par fives. Par five scoring is huge on these golf courses. So that's something to talk about. And when I get to the fan share stuff, they have a new tool that I think I used correctly that I'll kind of highlight some guys that have done well on these two courses, taking out the La Quinta part of it. But Jesse, what kind of stats are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird course history type of week, right? Because obviously typically three courses, this year we're knocking it down to two. I'm still waiting it. Strokes gained tee to green. I mean, the other problem, of course, you know, too, is a lot of these guys maybe have played 1 week in the last month or so. So it's a tough week from that perspective. So really looking at just kind of how guys are playing most recently. And, you know, obviously we talk about that pretty much when we go over these guys. But, I mean, I still think that waiting birdie or better, you know, I still think that we're going to get to the high teens, if not the low 20s. I mean, it's not going to be it's not going to make it like to where we're in the low teens or high, you know, single digits. It's just not going to happen, I don't think, because these are still resort courses. So
still resort courses, still like these greens are such – they're not like super easy, but they're not super fast. Two putts pretty easy. Like there's very few three putts on these greens. So like you said, these guys are going to be able to pitch and put. If they're in the fairway, they're going to have easy approaches in. The birdie should still be here, especially at the one day on the Nicklaus course. Take advantage. Like if you're playing showdown, stack the Nicklaus course, leave the stadium alone, so on and so forth. When you're looking at fanshare.sports.com, use promo code AlwaysPress for 20% off the package of your choice. Just a couple things. Last 10 events on – I didn't bent – or no – that's not what I want. I clicked the wrong button. I wanted Bermuda in this field. The last 10 events on Bermuda greens, Scottie Scheffler leads the way in DraftKings scored and followed by Answer. Rahm is out of the event, so keep that in mind. Yeah, Koepka, Molinari, Cantlay, and Alex Noren checking the boxes on the Bermuda greens putting. Par 72, 7,000 to 7,200 yards over the last 10 events. Guys, check on the box here. Scottie Scheffler yet again, Sam Burns, Andrew Landry. Shocker, because he's done so well at this event, like Jesse mentioned. Cantlay, Noren again, checks the box here. And then the last one, FanShare's got some new features out there. One of them is course data that's there, but you can do aggregate by events. And instead of just events, you can do select golf courses, like specifically certain golf courses. So I did the stadium course, I did the PGA West. They only had the Palmer in there, but I was told it has the whole cha-cha for Nicklaus Palmer, the whole what they've used there at this event. So we've got that over the entire field here. And like Andrew Landry checks the box. Kaplan, Adam Hadwin, we'll get into him for sure. It's a shame Rahm's not here. But then like Cantlay, Sam Burns, Ricky Fowler, Sung Jae, and then Adam Long. So really what this tells me is what's the reason why I wanted to bring it up. Jesse mentioned like past event history. It wasn't just La Quinta that won it for these guys. So let's put it that way. If you're starting to look at like past it, when we Jesse was talking about course history and everything, La Quinta helps, obviously. But looking at the fan share scoring, if you take La Quinta out of it, it's still the guys that are finishing high in the events are playing very well at the other two courses. So
we only get one round too at La Quinta, so you know.
And if you didn't take advantage there, you probably didn't make it to the weekend anyways.
Right.
All right, let's get into the DK scoring. We have the 10K and above range again, 156 in the field, T65 in ties. So keep an eye on the tilt on Friday. But you have Cantlay at 11-1, Brooks at 10-8, Finau at 10-5, and Patty Reed at 10-2. Obviously, Rombo would have been up here, but Rombo is out of the event. So out of these four guys, 10K and above, Jesse, what you liking?
I mean, the only guy I would really consider playing up here, and I don't think I'll play anybody above 10K, but is Cantlay. Finished ninth here in 2019, coming off a 13th place finish over in Hawaii at the Tournament of Champions. Before that, played the Masters, finished 17th. So Cantlay's the only guy. I mean, I wouldn't talk anybody out of playing anybody up here. You know, Brooks is he's your normal GPP play. Does he show up? Who knows? Finau, another, you know, GPP play. I think Reed is maybe the safer. I don't know. His course history is weird. It's miscut 12th, 56th, but you know, he hasn't missed a cut on tour since the Rocket Mortgage Classic back in July. I don't think he's going to miss a cut this week. He's had some really good finishes of late, too. So if you played Patrick Reed, you know, I would not talk you out of it at all. But for me, really, it's just Cantlay and kind of move on here. And again, like I don't think I'm going to touch even anybody above 10K this week.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. When I'm going through my picks here, it was Cantlay and Reed if I come up here. And I am Cantlay's, I think, a really good GPP play because I don't think a lot of people will pay up to get Cantlay. You know, 13th, 17th, and 1st his last three events on tour. Finished 9th there 2 years ago. Usually plays these California courses very, very well. But I don't know if I want to pay 11-1 for that. When I started doing my builds later, I like Reed quite a bit. I usually like Reed. I like him at events where courses he does well at, coming in good form. Same time as he worked 10-2. I don't know because it's a very loaded field. When we get to the 9 and the 8K range, it's pretty nice. You know, Finau, he's always fun and all, but does he have the win equity? I don't know. And yet, you mentioned Brooks. So it's a range where I feel like I can get just as much upside or potential DK scoring in the 9K range instead of the 10K range and do just fine. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So let's talk about that 9K range. Sung Jae Im at 9,900 bucks, let some people down, obviously, with a 56th place finish. I'm going to get right back on that horse. Matty Wolf at 97, Scheffler at 95, Fowler 93, Na 92. It's like Palmer last week with the price bump. Na gets the price bump this week. You got Answer at 91 and Russell Henley at 9,000. So what do you like in the 9K range since we're not in the 10K range?
Obviously, Sung Jae, 10th here last year, 12th in 2019. You know, didn't have a great finish, really just a great weekend. You know, everybody was – there's a lot of guys going shooting 66, 65 on the weekend in Honolulu, and he just, you know, shot 4-under, 5-under, or I guess 2-under, 3-under, excuse me. So, I mean, not great, but whatever. Go back to Sung Jae. Don't really care what he did last week. He'll be back this week. And I don't see, I mean, knock on wood, how he misses the cut. Scheffler, I think Scheffler will be popular. Third place finisher last week at 9,500. You know, two straight top 20s. If you want to call the Tournament Champions a top 20, I mean, technically it was, even though there's only 35 guys in the field or whatever, but he's fine. For the price and the ownership, I don't know that I really use him. Russell Henley, though, at 9,000. Now, GPP only, obviously, miscut in his last three appearances. He did make one cut back in 2016, which was 49th. But he's come off a really solid 11th place finish at Sony. I'm kind of surprised by this price, and so I really anticipate his ownership being low. I mean, it should be because really, you know, you're just kind of bumping him up for last week. I'm not 100% sure because the course history isn't there. And then, you know, if you want to play Answer or Nah, I wouldn't be against it at all whatsoever. Answer obviously had a really good finish here last year, finished 2nd. And then, of course, Nah is last week's champion. So,
And he makes cuts here. He's made four straight cuts. So.
Right. I mean, he's got a good course history
for sure. But I'm back on Sanjay with you. Like, you know, like you said, 10th and 12th. He had a bad week last week. I'm cool with that. Like, I'll go right back to the guy that doesn't ever stop playing golf and just had a hiccup for the weekend. That's called golf, folks. I'll take Sanjay at 9. Like, Sanjay, if he has a half-decent week last week, he's in the 10K range. It's that simple. Like, you're getting a discount here. And I wonder if people will be like, nah, I'm going to save money and go to these other guys. So Sungjae at 99 really, really gets my attention. Scheffler, good play, will be popular, like you said. So if somehow on Wednesday night the ownership is low on Scheffler, I'll pivot a little to Scheffler. But right now I'd have most of my eggs in the M basket. I think Antor is a very good GPP play. He's made three straight cuts here, second place last year. Coming off that miscut last week where he's tilted everybody, I think that's a very low ownership angle to go with Antor this week. And you hit Henley on the head. I love Henley because people will look at the course history, and we love course history. Like this is where you kind of have to, you know, separate a few things. Three straight missed cuts, like you said. 11th last week, he missed the cut. I believe at he didn't get to play the Masters the week before the Masters. Then, but 30th, 29th, 4th prior to that, he finished the fall in great form. It's a different Henley than the guy that missed three cuts. He made some adjustments last year. I think after COVID, he pretty much played great. From then on out. So I think 9,000 for a guy, great ball striker, great approach game. When you don't have to, you know, match up with the bombers, you can just use his iron play. I think Henley at 9K is a great play. I like him. I actually have him written down to talk about later on in some things. So I like him quite a bit in this spot. I hope he comes in at low ownership because I think the guy below him in the 8K will get much more ownership to kind of take away from Henley. So the one guy we didn't mention, and I just want to get your quick thoughts on him. I think from a GPP angle, he's very, very intriguing. But definitely not in cash. But Matthew Wolf at 97, I think he's going to go really low owned in this range. Does he appeal to you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't talk anybody out of playing Matt Wolf or Ricky Fowler for that matter. I mean, Wolf, obviously, course history, 61st last year. That's the only time he's ever played here, coming off a miscut at the Masters. But he's good enough to really play well anywhere. The same thing could be said about Ricky, obviously, too. Did you know that Ricky and Kevin Na now have the same amount of wins?
Yeah, I heard that a few places. Did you know that Kevin Na's won in four straight years, and there's only like three golfers that have better streaks than him?
Yeah, it's crazy. Kevin Na's run is really insane. I don't think we gave enough credit at the beginning of this show.
I think I feel really, really bad. I can't remember where I saw it from, and I'll retweet it later. But I saw somewhere that he's got the four W's.
I got it right here.
Okay, go for it then. It's like all or nothing.
Oh, no, I didn't see that then. So, like, since 2018, since January 2018, DJ has 8 wins, Bryson has 6, JT has 6, Koepka has 5, Rory has 5, Na has 4, and Rahm has 4.
Yeah, that's some pretty good company. right here, Lynn Hochberg from RotoWire. Kevin Na has 4 wins in his last 55 starts, but he's not on the leaderboard as often as you'd expect from such a frequent winner. He has only 5 other top 10s in that span. So you got 5 top 10s, 4 wins. That's 9 starts. That's 46 other starts where he's pretty much doing his thing, withdrawing or missing cuts. It's so wild. I think he's really, really good. And then he disappears. Like most guys that are as good as he is when he's contending, at least put like top 20s together. Like you're always kind of hanging around. Like Tony Finau hanging around. But Finau can't finish. Na can finish. It's really weird. That's golf.
Yeah,
that's weird.
I agree. No, it's 100%. Like it's all mental game. You know, from that aspect. And when Kevin's playing well, he has a very good mental game.
Yeah, and when he's not, it's the mental. Like, he is the mental midget when things aren't going well. It's impressive with Kevin Na. But that's why I love him when he gets going. That's why I love him, like Patrick Reed, those guys that mentally they're as strong as most when they're contending. So it's
more thing on. On that, we had a little bit of a discussion in a group chat that I'm in. But would you consider Kevin Na for the Ryder Cup?
If you got the right guy to pair with him, it'd have to be a team suiting. I think he'd be great for the Ryder Cup. I really do. Yeah. I think he might be better for a European course than these bombing out Whistling Straits type courses. But you get him one of these like shorter courses like Paris and Rome coming up here and stuff. I think he could be real because – Yeah, I think it could be very interesting if he had the right pairing, a guy to kind of keep him grounded.
I think he should be in consideration.
No, definitely. It's going to be interesting. I know we're taking a detour here, but this is the fun part about podcasts. I've heard some people talk about it, you know, there's only really going to be one captain's pickup for grabs. And it's like, okay, do you go Phil or Tiger? And Phil's probably out, which he should be. People think Tiger will say no. So then it gets really interesting. It's like, Kisner is a kind of one of those grinders that on certain courses could be good. Kevin Na fits that mold. Like, there's a lot of guys that don't stand out to you at first blush as like, oh, they got to be on the team. But it's like, would you rather have one of those guys over Ricky Fowler right now?
Oh, 100%.
I would.
I mean,
well, Ricky Fowler is what everybody wants. That's what's crazy.
Well, we got, you know, 8 months until we're there or whatever. So it's a long way to go. A lot of golf to play. Maybe Ricky starts playing really good golf. But, you know, at this point, I don't know that Ricky's, in my opinion, should be in the discussion. But, you know, I'd rather have a Kevin Kisner over pretty much anybody just because Kevin Kisner does not give a fuck.
Yep.
And
that's what you need. Like, when things are bad, like, yeah, that hole's over. Like, that's the beauty of match play. That hole's gone. That's done. Like, let's move on.
I'm with you.
And that's why I love him, but that's a whole other discussion. So, well, like you said, we have 8 months to keep talking about that, and I'm pretty sure we will talk about it in long length at times because they need to kick some ass this year. Let's put it that way. It's got to happen. So let's get to the 8K range here. We have Cam Champ at $89, $100, Mickelson at $88, Casey $87, Lonto $86. You know, I love it. You know, we love to play him in the 6K range, but he's getting respect. It's a few weeks in a row at the 8K range. Yep. Adam Long at 85, Kazire 84, Burns 83, Kim 82, Harmon 81, Hadwin 8,000, Moore 8,000. I'll let you give your picks in a minute, but that Harmon, Hadwin, Moore range is going to tilt people's faces off. But what do you like in this 8K range?
It's funny because I've got almost all those guys checked off. I mean, start up with Paul Casey. His course history is okay. Two straight, you know, cuts made here. 2020, he finished 21st. 2017, he finished 58th. Three made cuts in a row. He did miss the cut to Shriners back in October. I don't know. Paul Casey, I like to see him play before I really start to play him a bunch. Sam Burns, 8,300. Two straight made cuts. Sixth here last year and 18th the year before, coming off a seventh place at the Houston Open. Siwoo at 8,200. He withdrew here last year, finished 40th year before, and ninth in 2016, excuse me. Two straight made cuts, Sony Open, the Masters. You know, he just if he gets it going, I think he, you know, can be successful here. Brian Harmon at 8,100. Made four of five cuts, 21st missed cut, 20th, 3rd, 11th. He's played every year here since 2016. So 21st last year, coming off a made cut at the Sony Open, 56th, whatever. Adam Hadwin, like, I don't know what to do about him, right? So his course history, you can't really – do you remember why he didn't play here last year? Was it a kid or something?
I think his wife was having a kid, yeah, pretty sure.
Because 2019, second, third before that, second before that, and sixth in 2016. So I got like kind of curious and I was like, you know, how was he playing coming into those tournaments? Because coming into this one, it's not good. Miscut, miscut, miscut. Three straight miscuts on the tour. That's the Mayakoba, RSM, the Masters. You know, nothing really great last year at all. He finished fourth at the Rocket Mortgage Classic back in July. And since then, he hasn't really finished inside the top 25. Right. And if you go back and look at like his finishes before this tournament in previous years, he was actually playing pretty well.
Yep.
So I really don't know what to do about him because typically, you know, that's a guy, you know, with those finishes. Yeah. I mean, it's an automatic click, especially for like a cash game lineup. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a little bit more sketch this year. So you're going to have your course history truthers. You're going to be on him no matter what. I'll be interested to see what the projected ownership is on him. I don't know 100% that I'll be on him. Ryan Moore at 8,000 right below him. Interesting pivot, especially if, you know, you think Hadwin's going to be high or whatever. Played here last year, finished sixth, coming off a miscut at the Wyndham. You know, Ryan Moore's up and down, but when his ball striking's on, you know, he can hit the ball with anybody on tour. So, yeah, I really like this lower 8K range a lot. And then, yeah, I mean, just what do you do with Hadwin? I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to hear your take on it.
No, that's why I had them all three. I had Hadwin, Harmon, and Moore all written down because I thought we had to discuss this, and I figured we would bring it up. But if for some reason it wasn't, this is like the crux here. You know, you got Harmon. I think he's the safest of the three. If that's, you know, we say it over and over. It's not good to say safe when it comes to golf, but I think he'll make the cut, but will he contend? Like, he had a third and 17, but it's 21st, missed cut, 20th, 11th, 56th last year. I like Harmon on courses where he can use his iron play and not have to bomb things out. So this fits him very well. I think he's out of the three, I'd feel most confident him making the cut out of the three. So now he'd probably be the one that misses the cut. But it's like, I think the other two might have higher win equity DK scoring. So that makes things interesting. Hadwin is a conundrum. Like you said, he's usually playing better golf when he comes here. These courses fit him well. We see him when he goes to the RSM. We see him when he goes to the Heritage, these shorter courses, these Pete Dye courses. I went and pulled up FanShare because you could separate by just Pete Dye courses. And he checks the box there as well. Like, there's these guys that just play really well at certain courses and certain course designs, and there's a reason for it. So he's a GPP only, like you said. I think he's a good one to have as a pivot and a cascade, not a part of your core, but make sure you have, like, if you're doing a 20 max, have a couple of him in there just in case, like Kevin Na did last week. The way Hadwin plays at these courses, you wouldn't be shocked. So, and when I gave all the FanShare info earlier, Hadwin was on the board everywhere for this event. Like, it just makes sense. I'm terrified, though. I would not go heavy on him because he is coming in funky, funky form. Ryan Moore is a guy that has not played in a long time. So that concerns me a little bit. But again, similar to Harmon, plays these shorter courses very well. And that's why I got 8K in a normal year where I saw him playing regularly. I just clicked the box. Like, here we go. But now, you know, great here last year. Hasn't played in a while. We actually have guys coming in that have played recently that we've seen them play well or bad or whatever. He hasn't even played most of the fall swing. Like, he's been injured and out. Like, it's tough to tell what Ryan Moore is going to come. So I'm probably going to pass on him, which is crazy because an 8K Ryan Moore in this field seems like a must play to me. But it's just where I'm differentiating these three. It's like, I'll take Harmon. I'll take Hadron and GPPs. I'm probably going to pass on Moore, which sucks. But the rest of the 8K range, I like Casey for GPPs. I don't trust him. Like, usually I wouldn't cash at this point. The fact he hasn't played in a while, like you said, Jesse, I'll pass on him in cash, but in GPPs, I like him a lot at 8,700 to make some noise. Burns, I like him as well as 83. Course history truthers will see this and probably play a lot of Burns, so keep that in mind. Siwoo is the Pete Dye killer, so that's something to keep in mind. The withdrawal last year killed a lot of people. So he could be a nice lower ownership play because people just don't like to play Siwoo. He's been playing pretty good golf, so I don't hate it. The guy I love in this range is Patton Kizire. Two missed cuts in a row at this tournament, but then 42nd, 50th, 42nd. We're talking a guy that's playing well. 7th last week, 32nd, 10th, 11th, his last three events in the fall swing. Playing really good golf. Those are all birdie fest kind of events, just like this, shorter course. I think Kizire at 84 is a play that stands out to me a lot in the 8K range that is going to get overlooked with the KCs and Longs and Hadwins in this area. So give me some Patton Kizire. All right. 7,500 to 79. You got ZJ, EVR, Griot, CH3, Cam Davis, Kerry Woodland down here at 77. Chris Kirk, you mentioned earlier, 76. Noren, 76. Wise, Dahman, Glover, and Redmond's down at 75. Can't wait for that chalk attack. What do you like in this range?
Start with CH3. It's West Coast time. It's time for just to plug and play CH3. He played pretty well last week. He finished 20th. He shot 64 on Sunday. I'm sorry, 19th. He shot 64 on Sunday, though. Five straight made cuts. I like Charles Howell quite a bit. I think he's borderline cash, too. I mean, his course history, he did miss the cut here last year, but before that, 34th, 20th, 12th, 11th. The guy's solid. We know how good he is on the West Coast. Cameron Davis, surprisingly, two straight made cuts here, 29th and 28th. I was not really expecting that out of Cameron Davis. Made the cut last week, 31st. Chris Kirk, course history is not great. Missed cut, but he had finished 21st in 2017. Come off that second place finish last week. He's got that tour card locked up now and can kind of ease his mind a little bit and I don't know, maybe take it easy and just miss a cut because I play him. I mean, that's probably what will happen, but I like him, especially come off that second place finish last week. Doc Redmond, like you said, probably going to be chalky. I don't know how much I really like him. He did finish 29th here last year, coming off a missed cut at the RSM, hasn't played basically since then. Well, he hasn't played since then, and that was back in – it's almost 2 months ago. It'll be 2 months by the time this deal gets started. So, yeah, I mean, you know, for me, really, it's just Kirk, Davis, and Howell in this range. Have you heard anything about Gary Woodland?
No, and that's what terrifies me. It's like he took the time off because obviously the injury – but now he's back because he's back this soon. Like, he's the guy I got to see. Like, if you're making a ton of lineups, if you want to have one or two, sure. Because if he's healthy, $7,700 is stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
that's, like, it's dumb. But I'm concerned still. It's, a hip's a scary thing for golf.
I'm with you. And, you know, he was 70. He was in the 7,000s all last year. And it's, you know, miscut, 72nd, miscut, 33rd, miscut. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not – he wasn't paying off his price tag then. If he's healthy, most definitely. I guess it'd be good to know if we can get any information on that.
Yeah, there are beat reporters at the events now. So if we could get a little nudge somewhere, that would be nice. Because if he's healthy at all, I would definitely put a couple flyers on him in a heartbeat. So I put, if you're betting on him, I'd bet on him this week at his price tag. But I think he's good for this one. I like CH3 a lot. You mentioned him. He had a great week last week. He's made four straight cuts. Missed cut here last year, but then cut machine, West Coast. It's just lock and load CH3 time at 78. I love Cam Davis at 77. Had a lot of him last week. Probably will again this week. Griot at 78. He was in my core last week. Kind of stumbled over the weekend. Came out really hot. Still finished 47th. Hasn't played here since 17 where he missed a cut, but playing really good golf in the fall. It's always putting with Griot. But ball striking, great. If you need a good approach cam like you do at stadium course, it fits him well. So I like him at 78 as well. Comes in low-owned usually, so that's always nice. A couple others. Redmond, sure, if you want some. But the pivots off of that, dominant 75. Bad course history here, but playing good golf in the fall, like shorter courses. And Glover at 75, really good course history. Sketchy overall golf, but two good pivots off of the chalky Redmond. So that's something to think about. I go Dahman over Glover. Glover might have the higher win equity, though. So take your pick there. I think Dahman is just a – he can birdie in bunches. And so if you're looking at DK scoring, Dahman could be really big there. And then the guy in this range, similar to my Kazire play in 8K, pretty much every fan share thing I looked at, that I talked about on the show, and even the Pete Dye one, he checks the boxes. He finished 14th here last year in his first time. You know, miscut, 18th, miscut, 17th, how he finished the season out. But Alexander Noren at 76 in a GPP, I like quite a bit. I think he has some definite potential in this for a GPP. So another guy to circle, not a cash game play, but GPP relevant at 7,600. All right, 7K to 7,400. There's a ton of guys here. So who are you looking at?
Cameron Tringale at 7,400, 43rd, 51st in his last two starts at this tournament. Two miscuts before that, and the 14th place finish back in 2016. Finished third at the RSM Classic his last time out, and 29th at the Houston Open. He's up and down all over the place. Taylor Gooch at 7,400, three straight made cuts here, 17th, 4th, 67th, but is coming off two straight miscuts, including last week. You know, he did shoot 3 under, missed it by one shot, so wasn't that far off. I like him, especially potentially at some lower ownership with coming off that miscut. He wasn't very high owned last week, 5%, so it didn't burn a lot of people. But Charlie Hoffman at 7,400. He's a GPP only play, 61st year last year, three miscuts in a row before that, but played well last week, 14th. Brendan Steele at 7,300. I'm surprised he didn't get more of a price bump. I mean, I don't understand this price on Brendan Steele, right? So last week he's 7,100. He finishes fourth. Shoots 61 on Saturday, which was very impressive. Didn't have a good Sunday. Shot one under
on Sunday. Got boned for it, basically.
And finishes fourth. He was the leader or whatever going into Sunday. But his course history here is 43rd, 57th, 26th, 34th. So hasn't missed a cut in five straight years here. So interesting that he is this low priced at 7,300. Fully expect him to be pretty chalky, but I don't mind it at 7,300. JT Poston at 7,300. Missed cut last week. Two missed cuts in a row before that. Course history is pretty decent, though. 37th, 7th, missed cut, 34th. I think you can get him at some low ownership. Chez Reavie, 7,200. As you can tell, like a lot of guys in this range. Missed cut last year, but before that, four straight made cuts, including three top 30s there. And coming off a made cut at the Sony Open, nothing great. And then Peter Malnati, I mentioned him last week, didn't I? Do you remember? I thought I talked about him. I didn't play him, of course, because I just played one lineup, you know. And he came out of the gates hot, 8 under on the first round, cooled off, but did play well again on Saturday. You know, at this price, it's going to be hard for me, even in a single lineup, not to play him. Now, given his course history is not great. Miscut 18th, miscut 77th, miscut. But, you know, if you like patterns, you know, the pattern here would be to make the cut this week. So keep that in mind. $7,200, Peter Minotti, he can get hot. And then last but not least, man, in the 7,000 range, well, I got two more, excuse me, two past champions, Landry at 7,000 and Swofford also at 7,000. Landry, obviously the defending champion at this tournament, 28th the year before that, second the year before that. Missed the cut at Sony, whatever. Swofford, he hasn't really played well since his win in 2017 here. 29th, 65th, missed cut, going from 18 up to last year. But 25th last week at the Sony Open, did have that win back at, you know, in the Putacanta fall swing, September, whatever the hell was going on back then. So plenty of guys, in my opinion, here to play. I like this range quite a bit.
Yeah, so do I. And so before I get into my long list as well, I want to say that we talked the core Cascade a lot. I think I might tweak the Cascade this week. We saw it last week. That I think it was 4 or 5 in the 7K range were in the optimal lineups. We've seen this event have a lot of long shots finish very well and win this event. And we've also it's a better field this year, so maybe not as easy this year. But I think the 7K range, the fact that you like a bunch and I'm going to like a bunch, so there's a lot of GPP volatility, a lot of ways to pivot in tournaments, that my Cascade might be like two or three guys in the 8 and 9K range and then three guys in the 7K range and just pivot all my 7K guys and just do that, kind of rotate those around. So I have like maybe I'd have to do the math. I'd have to look at the sheet, but maybe I have like 15 7K guys that I rotate around to make them all in my 20 lineups or whatever and then keep my core three up top. I'm going to play with that and see how that works. But I think it's some viability this week. Based on the guys you mentioned, the guys I'm going to like, you're like Sepp Straka at 74. Jesse, I think we were like 8 to 12 months early on him. Like, he's really turning. He finished 4th here last year, so he made us happy here last year. But 25th last week, 52nd, 44th, 6th, 21st, last four events in the fall swing. He's been a birdie machine. So he's been loving these birdie fests. So I think Sepp at 74 is nice. Matt McNeely at 73, a guy that boom or bust, but when he's on, lots of birdies, can finish well. Finished 37th here last year. So I like Mav a little bit as well. I do like Steele. I think he comes in low-owned, actually. I think people just get annoyed of him, you know, having the lead and not finishing well. You know, he almost won last year, finished 43rd. I think people see that. I take a chance on Steele again at 73, like you said. A low-ownership play I love is Johnny Huh. He's 4 or 5 made cuts here, 20th, 12th, 48th, his last three events on tour. I think he's a really strong play at $7,200. Russell Knox let people down last week, missing the cut, but 3 straight made cuts here. He's an iron player. His problems are getting off the tee right now. If he can start getting off the tee a little better, and of course, where he doesn't have to use his driver like these, maybe it helps Knox out a bit, get him at low ownership. He's intriguing at 72. Scott Piercy at 71. Let people down also last week with the missed cut, but 4 straight made cuts here. 61st, 57th, 6th, and 41st. Guy that loves playing in California. So I like Piercy a little bit at 71. I think Landry's a great play. Like you said, I'm kind of surprised he's that cheap. I know he's not a, you know, perennially or weekly a great golfer, but he loves this course. Like, getting course history, defending champion, get a little love, not so much. I have Swofford down as well. And then the other two I have down here, Nick Taylor at 7,000 is an interesting GPP play. Missed cut, 40th, 20th, 34th missed cut. But he's 11th and 29th in the two Hawaii events, so coming in really good form. I like him a bit. And kind of the trend of guys that are mispriced if they start clicking, Francisco Molinari. Missed cut, 12th and 62nd here. You know, he missed a cut, and he finished 15th in his last two events in the fall. We knew he was trying to get healthy and changing the swing and changing clubs. Maybe this time off's helped a little bit. I think it's interesting at 7K. I wouldn't go all in at 7K, but I think it's interesting at 7K. So there's probably even more in this range. You could really make arguments like Benny Ann is $7,000. He can't putt, but he's better than a $7,000 golfer. He really is. Matt Jones at 71 coming in good. Like, there's a lot of guys here. But Molly at 7K is interesting to me. 6K range. Who you liking, Jesse?
Start with Vaughn Taylor at 6,800. 2 straight made cuts here. 3 of his last 4, he's made the cut. Coming off a 25th place finish last week. Hubbard at 6,700. Made 2 of 3 cuts. At this tournament and coming off a 32nd place finish last week. And then KH Lee, 6,500. 21st last year here. Missed the cut the year before that. 19th last week. So those are some guys, like, I don't know that I'll be in this 6K range, but those would be the guys that I'd be kind of checking out more than anything else.
Yeah, I don't plan on being down here a ton, but if you are, a couple of guys, Doug Gim, coming off the miscut last week, I go back to him at 6,800. Vaughn Taylor, I love, short course. I talked about him last week. Finished 25th last week, so you can definitely jump on that. Birdie Fest events, give me Mark Hubbard at 67. Finished 43rd here last year, 32nd last week. So he's a guy. And then, you know, Stewart's always interesting. Bhatia, the young kid that finished kind of okay in the fall. He's from Southern California, I believe, actually. So he could be interesting. But here he's always interesting if you're looking for a GPP play. There's a lot of guys. If you're going stars and scrubs, which you shouldn't be, Sean O'Hare has great course history here. He's 6,400 bucks, and no one will own him at all. Sam Ryder's got great course history, coming in bad form. He's 6,200 bucks. And then one guy is actually playing well or decent coming into this and has good course history. He's made 2 of 2 cuts here, 55th last year, made 3 straight cuts down the fall. Ryan Brim, 6,100 bucks. Problem with Ryan Brim, probably not going to finish higher than like 45th. How does that help you in DK? Probably doesn't. But if it frees up other guys to pay up top, knock yourself out. But I'm going to try not to be down here like you, but there's a couple options if you need to do it. All right, recapping things. 10K and a bargain.
Just can't lay.
Yeah, I'll say Patty Reed. I'll go Patty Reed. But can't lay, he should be the long shot favorite for sure. 9K range, who's your number one?
Sungjae.
Sunday's a great call. So since you took Sungjae, I'll take Russell Henley. I think that's interesting at 9K. 8K range, who's your number one?
I'm going to say Siwoo.
I like that. I like that call. I'll go Kazir at 84. 7,500 to 79, give me two.
Howell and Davis.
I like Howell a lot. I'll go Griot and Noren. But again, 7,000 to 7,400. Since we named off so many, go your top three.
Charlie Hoffman. Where the hell is Charlie Hoffman? Brendan Steele and Malnati.
Mine will be Straka, Johnny Huh, and the last but not least, I'll probably go Brendan Steele as well. But that third one's tough for me. That's it, like, for sure, it's Straka and it's Huh, but that third one's a little trickier for me. If you had to play one guy in the 6K range, who are you playing?
I guess Vaughn Taylor. I like, yeah. Hubbard too. I like what you said about Hubbard too. But
I'll probably go Hubbard, because my idea is if you're playing a guy in the 6K range, it's a GPP to begin with, so you want that birdie upside.
Yeah.
Mark Hubbard, like Taylor, almost, if you had to play a cash game 6K, I'd play Vaughn Taylor. Like, because I think he might not light the board on fire, but he should make the cut. Hubbard, he could blow up, but this guy can par 5 score, he birdies in bunches. So he's very interesting to me. Cash game plays, give me three guys to start a cash game lineup with.
Steel M and Howell.
I have CH3, Sungjae M, and Emiliano Grillo, but we're pretty much on the same page there. If you're starting a GPP this week, who are the three guys you're starting out with?
Henley, Kirk, and Davis.
Yeah, there's so many ways to go here. I put Kazir, Davis, and Straka, but I love Henley with you. I think Siwoo's interesting. Like, there's lots of ways to go. So it's gonna be fun to see ownership. Like, really play the ownership game this week, because yeah, they're gonna be really close in scoring and everything, unless they win the whole thing, obviously. So this is a great week to pivot on ownership. Very good week to do that. So hit us up in the Slack chat on Wednesday. We'll talk about it there. And then the fun part, like, I really do, like, as we've kind of hinted with the DK talk here, I think there's a lot of guys that have a chance to have a good week. Maybe not win it, so this might be a great top 10, top 20 week. Kevin, throw some of those out there. But who do you got winning this thing if you have to pick one?
I mean, Brian Harmon is at 50-1. I don't mind that. Siwoo at 50-1. Don't mind that necessarily. If you want somebody like longer, man, Malnati at 100-1.
I don't hate that. Malnati's always got a little close piece to my heart. The boy can putt and do some good things for your DK lineup, but he has to get to the green. If I got to pick, like, Henley at 33, that guy, that stands out to me. Like, he's going to break through in one of these events eventually. So that one's intriguing to me. I think Siwoo at 50 has a little legs to it as well. Other than that, like, you could, Gary Woodland is 66. I know he's, like, if he's healthy, that's a hell of a number. That's a hell of a number.
Yeah.
Stuff I mentioned about all those fan share deals, Alex Noren at 80-1, go play top 20 Alex Noren. Just do that. I just have a weird feeling about that one. But yeah, there's a lot of fun ones to play back here for sure. So don't hate that at all. Final thoughts, Jesse, as we wrap up this week's episode.
I don't. I'm just glad that golf is going to start before dinner time.
I'm glad I'm going to get to it's weird with me. Like, I love the primetime golf. I can sit at home and watch it. But there's part of me that likes the tilt first thing in the morning because I'm an early riser.
Yeah.
And then I can, like, get home after lunch and watch, like, the afternoon groups or stuff like that. I enjoy that. But, yeah, I'll take it whatever we can get. So we'll live it up. We have the West Coast here for a few more weeks. For those that didn't pay attention, Pebble is also not going to be a pro-am, but we'll talk about that in a few weeks. I got Waste Management coming up. I got Torrey coming up. It's going to be some fun golf. Tiger's back shortly. We'll have to talk the Tiger documentary eventually because I haven't finished it yet, but the parts I've watched so far, I have some interesting thoughts.
I need to watch it, but, you know, there was a certain pro golfer told me, like, he was stunned.
Yeah, about which part? Like, in a bad way or a good way?
The first episode, just how I'm much halfway detail through the, there was.
I'm halfway through the first episode. I'm halfway through the first episode, and I know when it came out, Tiger's people were pissed, and I understand why. That's all I got to say. Like, I can totally – I want to know who like, – I got to get some – someone's got to write an article, maybe they have, how they got this information. Because Camp Woods never would have let this stuff out. Let's put it that way. But we'll talk about that at a later date and time. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Intrick. This was your American Express preview. Catch you guys later.